fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! Let's go, big fellow! Hail Silver!
Corporal Mike Alice always seemed to know what was going to happen at Fort Blaze before anyone else.
Boys, listen. Reinforcements are on the way.
Oh, reinforcements, my eye.
Ah, it's just another rumor.
Mike Alice told me, fellas, no fooling this time. It's true.
Washington's raising hob with the colonel for not capturing Rio Scobie's gang.
Who says so?
Mike Alice.
Hey, how does Mike know what's going on around here before anyone else?
While the enlisted men wondered about Mike's source of information, Colonel Graves learned the answer. Then he sent for Mike.
Corporal Alice, you spend a good deal of time loitering outside the telegraph room here at the fort.
Oh, sir, I can explain. I studied the code once, thinking I might become an operator.
Are you familiar with the telegraph station at Piney Bluff?
I've seen the place once or twice, sir. A little one-room shack about a day's ride from here.
That's right. It overlooks the railroad tracks at Piney Bend.
What about it, Colonel?
Two of the operators who were stationed there were murdered by renegade Indians. The last man left when his contract expired.
Why?
Perhaps he was afraid of Indians. Or the Scobie gang. At any rate, the telegraph company has been unable to get an operator for Piney Bluff. Until they find a civilian for the job, the Army will have to keep the station operating. I don't have to tell you how essential it is for the line of communication between here and Kansas City to remain unbroken. Piney Bluff is a link in the line.
Oh, I know that, sir.
Requisition the supplies you'll need from the commissary. Start for Piney Bluff immediately.
Me, sir?
Yes, you.
I'm to be the operator at Piney Bluff?
That's right, Corporal.
But Colonel Graves, sir, I'm not a good telegraph operator. I'm out of practice.
Corporal, any man who can read code as well as you have by standing outside a telegraph room should be able to send messages with his toes. You have your assignment. Stay at Piney Bluff until the man comes to relieve you. Now get going.
Yes, sir.
Mike made his way to the commissary where he placed an order for supplies.
What'll we do with this when it's ready, Mike?
Bring it to the stables. I'll be there with Pearlie.
More than anything in the world, Mike Alice loved his horse, Pearlie. Between Mike and the sleekly groom, Gray, there was a bond of mutual devotion and understanding. Pearlie always seemed to recognize Mike's moods. As Mike saddled the powerful animal, he complained bitterly about his fate, while the big horse nuzzled his shoulder and whinnied sympathetically.
Bury me in the hills. Nobody to talk to. Nothing to do but stand watch over a telegraph key. Colonel Graves will need us here, Pearlie. How does he know where Rio Scobie will strike next? How does he know what that outlaw will stir up trouble among the Indians? He'll need every fighting man he can muster. And where'll we be? Parked up there on the bluff. They're ruling us out of the fight, Pearlie. Yeah, that's what I say. It's not fair.
Corporal Ellis and Pearlie left Fort Blaze and traveled to Piney Bluff. That night in Smoky City, a community east of the isolated telegraph station, Rio Scobie walked through the darkness toward the edge of town. Scobie was tall and lean. He wore his guns low, and he was faster on the draw than any of the five men who traveled with him. As a leader of lawless killers, his name struck terror to anyone who heard of his exploits. Scobie stood alone outside the door of the railroad station. Satisfied that the office was empty, save for Ned Bascom, the station agent, Rio opened the door quickly.
All right, take it easy, Bascom. You won't get hurt.
Rio Scobie.
That's right.
Well, what do you want here?
Information. Give it to me, keep your mouth shut, and you have nothing to worry about. Hold out on me, and I'll see that everyone in town finds out you're an ex-convict. Not only that...
No, Rio. Put the gun away. What do you want to know?
Ten minutes later, Scobie left the station. He made his way through the darkened street to the cafe where his gang waited for him in a back room. The light of the oil lamp flickering in the windowless room revealed a worried expression on several of the outlaws' faces. A man named Speed spoke for the rest of the gang.
Boss, we're worried.
Yeah, about what?
I don't think it's smart for us to be seen in town. If the law spots us, we'll have to shoot our way out.
That's right.
What law?
The sheriff?
Or the marshal?
There's no marshal around here. The sheriff died last week. No one won't be elected until next month. Meantime, the coroner's taking his place. He's too old to bother anyone. You see, Speed, I do more than worry. I check to make sure before I move.
Sorry, boss. I didn't mean any offense.
We're not staying in town anyway. I have the information I wanted.
About the train?
Right.
What about Bascom?
He won't talk.
Oh, you killed him, huh?
Why should I kill him?
Boss, a dead man can't talk.
Speed, who's running this gang, you or me?
You are, Rio, but
all right. I'll let Bascom live because we can use him. He can tip us off to train schedules and freight loads. Might even cut him in on our profits. Now, come on, boys. Clear out of town. Go into the hills and make camp till the train's due. Then we'll move in on the army payroll. I'll get moving.
Rio and his men were well on their way out of Smoky City when Ned Bascom turned in for the night. But sleep eluded the station agent. He tossed restlessly, torn between his desire to protect himself or to expose Scobie. Though Ned was reasonably sure no one had seen him talking to the outlaw leader, he knew he was duty-bound to report the conversation to the law. At daybreak, Ned was haggard and undecided. He wrestled with this problem all day. It wasn't until 6 o'clock that evening that Ned reached a decision. As he hurried to Doc Tarno's home, he could hear the train leaving the station.
Where's the emergency?
Right here, Doc. Let me in.
Sure, Ned. What's ailing you?
Plenty.
A white-haired doctor led Ned to the privacy of his office in the rear of the house. There he listened attentively while Ned Bascom told of his conversation with Rio Scobie the night before.
If I'd had the nerve, Doc, I'd have come here last night with the facts. But I didn't want to tell you what Scobie's holding over my head. I figured if you and the rest of the folks in town found out I was an ex-convict, I'd lose my job. I finally decided to come. I wish I'd come sooner.
Ask him?
Who?
By coming here, you've shown you're on the side of the law.
Doc. Doc, a masked man. Get him.
Steady. Don't try for a gun.
Mister, you gave me quite a start busting in like this.
Sorry, Doctor. I didn't mean to alarm you. Tonto and I left our horses in the rear. I took the liberty of coming through the back door.
I'm glad you did. It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Then you haven't forgotten Tonto and me.
Not by a jugful.
Doc, you know this masked man?
Yep.
But maybe Scobie sent him here. Maybe it's part of a plan. Rio said he'd kill me if I talked. Maybe this
man...
Calm
down, Ned. Mister, did you hear what we were talking about?
Yes, I heard it, Doctor.
It's Scobie must have known I'm acting sheriff of Smoky City till election. He probably figures I'm no lawman. That's why he was bold enough to come here.
I'm glad he did.
You're glad?
Tonto and I have been tracking Scobie and his men for some time, but we lost the trail. For the last week, we've been trying to find some trace of Scobie. That's why I came here tonight.
You've missed that owl hoot by about 24 hours. Unless I'm wrong, he's in the hills west of town.
We were closer to him than I thought.
From the questions he asked, I think he plans to stop the train at Piney Bend.
I'll try to warn the engineer.
Well, you can't do it. The train's already on the way to the bend. No horse alive could stop it before it gets there.
Ned's right, mister. Not even Silver could catch up to it.
Nevertheless, Doctor, we're going to try.
Might have known you would. What do you want me to do?
Telegraph Fort Blaze. Tell the colonel Rio Scobie plans to steal the army payroll.
Fort Blaze is a six-hour ride from Piney Bend. What can Colonel Graves do to stop Scobie?
That's for the colonel to decide. Thanks for the information, Baskin.
Where are you going?
To Piney Bend. Adios, Doctor.
Doc, you going to let that man get away?
You want to try to stop him, Ned?
Me? Oh, not on your life, but you're the law. You're the acting sheriff.
As acting sheriff, I am downright grateful for the help of the Lone Ranger.
Doc Tarnell hurried to the telegraph station in Smoky City. The telegraph key at Piney Bluff spelled out Doc's message for Colonel Graves. Mike Alice relayed the warning to Fort Blaze, then broke out fresh ammunition. He checked his rifle and revolver.
Scobie and his men come here looking for trouble. I'll be ready for them.
With only his horse Pearly for company, the 2 hours that followed seemed like an eternity to Mike Alice. He looked at his watch repeatedly. More than once, he went outside to stare through the darkness toward the railroad tracks in the valley below. Pearly, standing at ground hitch nearby, seemed to sense Mike's anxiety.
Yeah, just standing here in the dark waiting is a lot different from charging a bunch of murdering redskins, isn't it, Pearly? This time we have no buddies to back us up. It's you and me, old-timer. We gotta see this out alone.
Mike didn't dare leave the telegraph key untended. He stayed close to the building so his ears would catch the sound of clicking brass. He was tense, waiting and listening. Then he heard the train approach the bend in the valley. Mike couldn't see through the heavy growth of timber on the slope below, but finally a narrow beam of light illuminated the tracks. Then the engine moved into view, and suddenly, guns barked and the engine halted.
Holy smoke, it's true. Scobie's attacking the train.
Mike rushed to the telegraph key. Hurriedly, he sent a message to Fort Blaze. Then he left the station and began to make his way along a narrow footpath down the steep slope that led to the tracks.
I gotta help guard that payroll.
In his haste, Mike forgot he was traveling over treacherous ground. He stepped on a moss-covered rock that gave way beneath his weight. Mike fell. In falling, he struck his head against a rock and lost consciousness. Meanwhile, aboard the train, Rio Scobie held guns on the men who had been guarding the army payroll.
Pete, you and Speed nearly finished loading that cash in the saddlebags?
Yeah, boss, that's the last of it.
All right, put the saddlebags on the horses.
Right. Scobie, the United States Army will go after you. You'll never live to spend that cash.
You two guards won't live to tell who stole the payroll. Let them have it, Pete.
Right, boss.
No, wait.
That takes care of witnesses. All right, boys, hit the saddle.
What about Slim and Panama? They're up ahead covering the engineer and the fireman.
Yeah, they'll come along after us. Now let's clear out of here.
All right,
jump.
Easy.
All right, boys, get to the shelter of trees so nobody sees us. Panama! Slim! Come on!
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. We'll be right back. Now to continue. As Scobie and three of his gang left the halted train with the army payroll, Panama and Slim leaped from the engine cab to their waiting horses. Firing over their shoulders, they hurried to join the others.
Steady, boy.
Come on, get up there.
Get up.
Panama! Slim, head for the hills!
Panama, they're shooting at us.
There's the engineer. He must have got hold of a gun. Come on, we'll be out of range in a minute.
Boss, are you hit?
Stop the horses, boy! Rio, you all right?
Oh, it's my horse. One of those bullets got him.
He's going down. Jump clear, boy.
Hey, good thing I jumped. Critter might have fallen on me.
Is he hurt bad?
Yeah, they won't be able to travel.
Have all the luck. Now what'll we do?
Hey, boss. Look up there near the top of the hill.
Yeah, what about it?
I think there's a light up there.
Yeah, that's the telegraph station. I didn't think anyone was there.
Well, if an operator's on duty, he'll have a horse.
Just what I was thinking, Pete. We'll climb the hill and find out.
Knowing that it would be useless to try to pursue the thieves through the hills, the engineer started the train while the conductor tried to help the wounded payroll guards. It was nearly half an hour later when the Lone Ranger and Tonto drew rein at Piney Bend. A full moon was in the sky. By its light, Tonto studied the ground bordering the tracks.
Oh, we too late, Kimasabi. Here, Prince, has six horses.
Easy, steady, Silver. And Scobie and his men have already attacked the train.
Easy, Scotty, fella. Tracks head for trees.
The gang must be in the hills right now.
We go after them?
Trail will be hard to follow once we leave the valley. We'll do our best.
Get your hands up, both of you.
Who that?
Someone's behind us. I'll turn slowly.
I said get your hands up.
All right. You have the drop on us.
That's better.
Soldier. Him come from trees.
Yes, Tonto. He's a corporal. You're not surprised to see my mask?
When I saw the two of you coming, I spotted the mask. Step back out of sight. How come you're not with the rest of the gang?
Tonto and I are not outlaws.
You expect me to believe that?
As Mike Alice spoke, his gun wavered. He was conscious of a stabbing pain that seemed to pierce his head. Making a great effort to hold his gun steady, he raised his left hand to his aching temple.
Don't try anything. You're covered.
Kimasabi, I'm hurt.
Here, Corporal, let me help you.
Stay back, mister. I'm warning you. I'll shoot if you come any closer.
You're a soldier, Corporal, not a murderer. I'm not going to harm you. I'll take that gun.
Doggone it. If it hadn't been for wrapping my head in a rock, you'd never gotten that gun.
What happened to you?
I heard gunfire. I came down the hill from the top of the bluff. I lost my footing, and that's all I remember, till about 10 or 15 minutes ago. Reckon I cracked my head when I went down. It hurts.
Better look at it, Tonto.
Ah.
That gunfire was probably the Scobie gang attacking the train.
Yeah, easy, the engine.
Oh, you've got bad bump on head.
Is the skin broken?
No. Him maybe have headache for a couple hours. Then him be all right.
Here, Corporal. Drink of water from my canteen may make you feel better.
Thanks. Thanks, mister.
All right.
How come you're helping me?
I told you we weren't outlaws. We want to capture the Scobie gang.
That's a downright funny combination. Man in a mask wanting to capture owl hoots. On the other hand, you have my gun. If you were Scobie's kind, there'd be nothing to stop you from killing me.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Corporal, I'll return your gun. If Rio and his men are in these hills, you may need it.
I reckon that proves it. Mask or no mask, you're all right with me. Maybe you and the engine will give me some more help.
Well, what kind of help?
I found a wounded horse over in the trees. Poor critter stopped a bullet. He's in bad shape, but with care, I think he'll be all right.
Maybe that one of outlaw's horses.
Oh, yeah, that's what I figured. That dirty polecat's left him here to die.
Come on, Tonto. We'll see how badly the horse is hurt.
Rio Scobie's horse seemed to know he was with friends. With the Lone Ranger's encouragement, the wounded animal rose to his feet unsteadily. Then Mike and the masked man walked the horse up the side of the bluff, while Tonto followed, leading Scout and Silver. As they made their way slowly toward the top, Mike told how he had been sent to the telegraph station with orders to stay there until he could be replaced. When they reached the lighted building, the wounded horse whinnied softly. His legs buckled, and he went down.
The climb must have been too much for him.
Mike, Tonto and I'll do what we can to help him. You go inside and send word of the robbery to the fort.
Right. I'll be right back.
Seconds after Mike entered the telegraph station, the Lone Ranger and Tonto heard him shout.
The line's dead!
I'll go inside, Tonto.
Me, we stay here.
There must be a break in the wire somewhere.
A break or a cut in the wire?
A cut? You mean you think that Scobie...
What's wrong, Mike?
Pearlie! Pearlie! Pearlie, where are you?
Who's Pearlie?
My horse, he's gone, mister. Those dirty skunks took Pearlie. They stole my horse.
Steady, Mike.
I get it now. When they left the black to die down there by the tracks, they came up here and took Pearlie. They won't get away with it. I'll follow them. I'll get them and I'll kill them.
Take it easy, Mike.
Mister, you don't understand. Pearlie isn't just a horse. He's my friend, my buddy.
I do understand, Mike. I feel the same way about Silver.
I'll kill the man that took him.
Your job is here. Find the breaker, cut in the telegraph wire. Repair it at once.
I'm going after Pearlie.
You stay here. I don't know. I'll go after him.
As the Lone Ranger talked to Mike, Colonel Graves paced the floor of the telegraph room at Fort Blaze, while his aide stood nearby and the operator tapped the key.
No use, sir. Line to Piney Bluff's dead. I can't get through.
The corporal's last message said Scobie was attacking the train. Alice said he was leaving the station to investigate.
He may have been killed.
Very likely. Scobie probably cut the telegraph wire. Lieutenant, take four men with you and start for the bluff immediately.
Yes, sir.
For more than an hour, the masked man and his Indian companion rode in silence, watching the tracks of Rio Scobie and his men. Suddenly, they heard the sound of approaching hoofs.
Me see a horse coming through trees.
I'll stop him. Come on, Silver. Hey there, fellow. Whoa, boy. Oh, easy, easy, Silver.
What's got humper there? Oh, this horse looked like Pearlie. Told you the fellow talked about.
Pearlie?
Him no name.
It is Pearlie. Fellow, he's run away from Scobie. He must be on his way back to Mike.
Scobie be plenty man.
Yes, especially if these are his saddlebags. I'll look inside.
What you find?
Tonto, this is part of the Army payroll.
Oh. We turn it over to law?
There's no time for that now. You go back to the telegraph station. Make sure Pearlie and these saddlebags reach Mike safely.
And what you do?
I'll follow Pearlie's back trail. Come on, Silver. Come on.
The Lone Ranger found it comparatively easy to follow Pearlie's back trail. He rode steadily, halting only when he heard several riders approaching.
Who's number two? Come on, boy.
The masked man guided Silver off the trail.
Hold on.
Then he waited in the shadows for the horseman to pass. As the riders passed the place where the Lone Ranger was concealed, they traveled in single file. Moonlight revealed Rio Scobie in the lead, riding double with a man named Slim. Then, keeping out of sight, the Lone Ranger kept pace with the gang until they approached Piney Bluff. He dismounted and went forward on foot. He saw Scobie and his men standing at the edge of a clearing that surrounded the telegraph station. They were silhouetted against the light coming from the open door. The masked man crept closer. He was about to fire a shot to warn Mike and Tonto of Scobie's presence, when suddenly he heard a cry.
Tonto, look outside! Scobie's moving in on us!
The door of the telegraph station was slammed shut. Bullets thudded against it, and an instant later, the light went out, leaving the building in darkness. Moonlight, shining on the clearing around it, revealed Scobie running for cover. Scobie and his men had sought protection behind the huge trunks of tall pine trees. The sound of battle echoed through the hills as the gang fired steadily at the building in the clearing. From darkened windows, Mike and Tonto fired at the flashes of the outlaws' guns. Then suddenly, Speed and Pete shouted,
"Boss, there's someone behind us!
He's firing down on us from above!"
There are two guns up there. I can see the flashes when they're fired.
Well, what do we do about them?
You and Speed sneak up on them. Goes in from two sides. Doc, you'll not see it coming.
What about those two in the building?
Yeah, they're trapped. There's only one door to that place. The windows are just slits to let in air.
Hey, that critter behind us is too accurate for comfort.
Yeah, you know what to do about them. Get going.
Pete and Speed separated, planning to close in on the unseen attacker from two sides. Concealed by darkness, they crept uphill cautiously. Guided by the flashes coming from twin Colt 45s. As Pete moved close to the Lone Ranger's position, his foot dislodged a rock. The Lone Ranger whirled to see Pete charging toward him.
I'll get you, mister!
Try it.
No! No! My hand! Speed! I'm hit!
An instant before he fired, Pete's hand was brushed by searing flame as a silver bullet struck its mark.
I'll kill him, Pete! I'll get him!
Speed fired from behind the masked man. The Lone Ranger felt the sudden impact of deadly metal in his left arm. He triggered his right-hand gun, turned, and fired. Speed staggered, fell back, and tumbled headlong down the slope.
I'm not out of the fight, mister. I aim to finish it.
Pete gripped his other gun in his uninjured hand.
You'll finish the fight with a broken arm.
No! My arm! My arm!
Oh. At that moment, hard-riding soldiers from the fort closed in on Rio Scobie and the three members of his gang who could still use guns. When they saw they were outnumbered, Scobie ordered his men to make a run for their horses. But the light of an early dawn disclosed their position to the Lone Ranger. He cut off their retreat. A short time later, Scobie and his men were in the telegraph station. Their wounds had been bandaged and their hands were tied. Mike sat at the key sending a message to Fort Blaze, while Pearlie stood at the window looking in from the outside. Beside him was Rio Scobie's big black horse.
Yeah, that does it. I told the colonel we've captured Scobie and his gang and recovered the payroll. I think I had the idea this place would be too quiet for Pearlie and me.
Corporal, you'll probably get a promotion for the night's action.
Lieutenant, now that Pearlie's back, I don't want anything else.
Mike, you're fortunate to have such a loyal horse.
I want to thank you and Tano for bringing him back.
He was on his way here when we met him. Well, you'll not need us any longer. Now that your friends are here to take charge of the prisoners...
Oh, wait. What about your wound?
Tano took care of it. Perhaps we meet again, Mike. Adios.
I hope so. Adios. Sure be lonesome around here without that masked man and the Indian.
Rio, look at the window. Isn't that your horse?
Yeah. What's he doing here?
We found him, Scobie, and took care of his wound. He'll be all right. Only you won't need him where you're going. From now on, he'll travel with the army.
Corporal, your horse in the black. Why are they raising such a ruckus?
It's nothing to worry about, Lieutenant. They're just saying goodbye. And thanks to the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.